Recently, Father Scheer and I were invited over to a parishioner's house for dinner, and we had a delightful time. They also invited two other couples, so a couple from the parish, and then some friends of theirs. It turns out in conversation, the friend, the husband, was culturally Jewish, but not practicing. Somehow, during the course of dinner, he was near me. He said, "Well, Father, I am spiritual, but not religious." Light goes off. And I said, "Well, I have a good Orthodox Jewish endocrinologist, and we just have a wonderful time talking about our faith and how we practice our faith and so on." Jab, jab, jab. But with that in mind, you've heard people say, "I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious." Well, you can't be one without the other. It's like we can't have a body without the soul and be a human person. We can't separate the physical from the spiritual. In God's plan, the spiritual and the religious go hand in hand. Think of our first passage from the Old Testament. Moses addresses the people as they're preparing to enter the promised land. Keep always in mind, God is love. God loves his people. God made the covenant with Abraham, that bond of life and love between him, Abraham, and his descendants. God rescued the Jewish people from the land of Egypt when they were slaves. God led them to the promised land. Because of this, God now has given Moses the commandments. God knows that these poor people are going to be living in a land surrounded by all kinds of pagan countries who worship multitudes of gods and in their cultic religious practices do things like sexual orgies and infant sacrifice. God also knows our wounded human condition. We're the children of Adam and Eve, the victims of original sin. Even our Lord in the Gospel talks about those weaknesses, passions, vices, temptations that come from within. We could summarize them in thinking of the seven capital sins: pride, anger, greed, envy, lust, sloth, gluttony. All of us at times deal with that weakness, that thought, the temptation. So God, in his goodness, gave to Moses the commandments for the people. God also gave them the different festivals like Passover, Yom Kippur. God gave them other rules so that they could live in freedom as God's children. He gave them these things so that they could truly live as his people. Jesus fulfills this. When Jesus comes into this world, true God who became true man, he perfectly reveals God's love to us. He does this by his teaching as well as by his actions. Jesus also founded a church, a new people of God, a body of believers, a family. Jesus gave us the sacraments so that we have these graced channels by which we can live in the life and the love of Almighty God. The seven sacraments bring us into that graced life. Our Lord also gave us the different festivals that we celebrate, and he gave us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to guide us, to teach the church, so that the church, the magisterium, could teach us how to live an authentic Christian life now. So yes, there's a goodness to this religious practice that keeps us free, keeps us as the child of God. So therefore, what if we just say, "Well, I'm just spiritual," and we just sort of cast off the religious side? Well, we've known people that have done that. For example, just to put an analogy, one of the greatest mistakes I made in my life is when I was a senior in high school. I stopped taking piano lessons. True. I regret that. And my mom even said, "Are you really sure?" I said, "Yes, I'm too busy. I'm a senior in high school. But don't worry, I'll practice and I'll learn new music and so on." I didn't do it. And I didn't do it all through college. Finally, in seminary, I started organ and so on and returned to the piano. But I regret that decision. So if we remove all the religious and say, "I'll just be spiritual by myself," who's going to be our God? Where are we going to find truth? What will our practices be? What will the commandments be that we follow? I dare say it's all self-idolatry. I'll be God. I'll practice the way I want to. I'll make up my own rules. I'll make up my own commandments. And of course, I'm perfect. I'm made in my image and likeness. So I guess I'll have heaven too. Nonsense. You can't have the spirituality without the religion. But there's also a warning here, because as we hear in the gospel, we have to have a genuine religious practice. St. James tells us that religion has to be something that is pure and undefiled. We are called to be holy and to put our faith into action. So therefore, we can't just have externals, a rule, but rather we have to live by that. Keep in mind, the word religion does mean rule, so that's good, a rule of life, but we have to live it. So it's not just following all these external rules once a week or here and there, it's living it each day, having that prayer life, learning our faith. But also, it's a matter of believing, a matter of living, a matter of really saying, "I'm going to strive to live a Christ-like life." I truly believe, just as our Lord chastised the Pharisees because they're so concerned about the external and we're simply paying lip service to the faith, I think that's the problem we face today in our church. Why do we have these problems? Because maybe the focus is too much for some on all the external, all the rule, the religious side, but not the spiritual. For example, when I was ordained as a priest, at the ordination ceremony, as it is for any man, he first makes his promises to the bishop of obedience and celibacy and the like. He then falls prostrate. The people pray the litany of the saints. He then rises. He kneels before the bishop. The bishop places his hands on the head of the candidate, showing a transference of holy orders, and then there's the consecratory prayer. That prostration and then standing is seen as a death and a resurrection. That is why priests wear black. It reminds us each day, when we look in the mirror, death and resurrection, called to die to self, to give our lives to Christ. It's not simply about what kind of church you have, or the smells and the bells, or the vestments. It's about living a Christ-like life, being truly a spiritual father, being Christ for others. Same is true when we think of, why does the Pope wear white? Because he's supposed to be outstanding in holiness. He's the successor of St. Peter. Why does a cardinal wear red? Because they're supposed to be outstanding in doctrine, morals, and piety, and be mindful of the blood of martyrs, and that they too should have the courage to shed their blood if necessary. What went wrong? I dare say some looked at all the externals, just like the Pharisees, forgot the spiritual side. Sin then comes, and the sin of pride, ambition, instead of service and humility, the sin of greed and self-seeking and want instead of sacrifice, the sin of lust, even deviant lust, instead of really living the chaste life given totally to the Lord in the service of others, the sin of cowardice, wanting to be popular instead of deal with the problems, instead of fortitude. There's the problem. And so we have to purge the sin from the church. But it also includes not just the priests, The problem today is also in the family. Consider that. The family has to be the domestic church, as Pope St. John Paul II said. The Lord Jesus has to be the Lord of your family, of your home. We have to have holy marriages. Sadly, we look at the statistics. 40% of Catholics go to Mass every week, and sometimes in dioceses, it's 10%. Where's God in their lives? How many of us know people in the neighborhood who might be Christmas and Easter Catholics, but not every Sunday Catholics? What takes priority in their life? I have relatives who are supposed to be Catholic, but frankly, my brothers and sisters, they think, they act, they speak like pagans. No one would know that they're Catholics, that they're Christians, by how they live their life. And no wonder, then, we find problems in the church. So what this means is that we need to not only practice our faith, but to do so with that striving for holiness, that purity of heart. The two are inseparable. They have to go together. This weekend, I heard this Sunday in the New York Times, the American Freedom from Religion Foundation, wonderful place, is going to have an ad about why Catholics should leave the Catholic Church. Well, you know what? The ones that are going to leave already left. They already left because it was all external for them. The heart wasn't in it. But the challenge then is that in this time of purification, we recognize this is a time of abundant graces. The Lord is pouring forth tremendous graces to purify, to make us stronger, to really give us the fortitude to be more convicted of what we believe in. If we take this to heart and we look at our own vocation, be it priest or just a simple lay person or married person or family member, we'll have a stronger church. If we keep striving to have our hearts pure and really live our faith, then, as the Beatitudes say, we will see the face of God, not only now, but in heaven. May God bless you.